We're going to start talking. You're afraid to become still and be by yourself. You have to practice this. At home, shut off the radio, shut off the TV. Pull the phone out of the socket and just sit still. See how long you can do this. This is very important for your spiritual progress. You have to learn to sit still. Confront yourself. Confront your thoughts, your emotions, your mind. But do not become frightened of these things. For in the end, you are the power of everything. But unless you really learn to sit still, you cannot possibly make any progress in this path. You did not come here to hear me talk. You came here to be still with me. When you are still, everything happens by itself. Everything that's supposed to happen won't happen by itself when you're still, perfectly still, calm, relaxed. No hurry, no worry. No appointment. Not having to look at your watch or anything. Not expecting any phone calls. Just be still with yourself, perfectly still. Let the world go by. Let things happen all around you, but you just keep still. You'll be amazed what happens if you can do this. Just to keep still. All the teachings, all the lessons, all the yogas, I just teach you to keep still. The combination of any teachings is to keep still. It's not as easy as it sounds if you haven't done it before. Movement leads to action. Action is the karma. So whenever your emotions are running away with you, whenever your mind is full of thoughts and ideas, you're accruing karma. Of course, we understand the ultimate is no karma. But as long as you feel our body or our mind, then there's karma. You created yourself by movement. In other words, movement causes karma. When you keep still, you transcend everything and become free. Someone asked me to say a few words about sages, saints, and yogis. So we'll talk about these things for a while. When a person begins a spiritual path, after a while they begin to see they can only go so far by themselves. You can go any further than that. So sufficient state within yourself. If you really want to make progress in the spiritual paths, only your heart knows this. When you put that first in your life, then something will happen. You'll be led to a rock, a tree, a brook, mountain, person, as the next step in your unfoldment. Usually you find a guru who can be a yogi, any kind of spiritual teacher, and you learn yogi things. And you become interested in Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Raja Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, the Eightfold Path of Yoga, Kriya Yoga, Kundalini Yoga, so forth and so on. And this is good for you. It keeps you out of mischief. It's good to practice these things. And you continue practicing these things, and you become attracted to a saint. A saint is a kind being. A saint is usually practicing karma yoga. A saint is a kindly old gentleman or a woman who wants to save the world, brings peace to the world. A saint teaches you to be kind to one another. And then some of us are attracted to a sage. A sage is a completely different category. A sage has nothing to do with yoga or singleness or anything. A sage is complete freedom, total liberation. This is what a sage is. Yet, when the question is asked, what's the difference between me, myself and the sage? There is no difference. Well, you see, you have created a sage yourself, in your image, in your likeness. Therefore, as long as you're seeing a sage with your thoughts and your ideas, what a sage is supposed to be, making a big mistake. The real difference between a sage and yourself is simply this. You believe the world to be real, and the sage knows the world is Brahman. The sage knows the world is absolute reality. Pure awareness. Yet you may intellectually say, I know the world is pure awareness, I know the world is Brahman. I know the world is absolute reality. But when you say I know, You're not going deep enough, you're not going far enough. When a sage says the world is Brahman, I know this. The sage is not speaking from a superficial experience, but from a deep, deep conviction. I know. Remember, when you say you know, you're speaking like you speak about everything else. When you say I'm hungry, thirsty, I need happiness in my life, I want this, I need that. There's the same power to say that I know that the world is Brahman. You know it intellectually. It doesn't do any good to know it intellectually. Knowing intellectually, nothing will happen. You have to know it with passion. You have to know deep, deep inside. Deep, deep inside. Very deep inside. The world is Brahman. Unless you've been practicing, you can't know this. You're speaking words. You may go around telling everybody the world is Brahman. But at the same time, looking out the window to see if somebody stole your car. If you lost your job, you worry about your job. So you can see in yourself all of the details of this world, and saying the world is Brahman. If you really believe the world is Brahman, how can you worry about these things? If you really knew the world was Brahman, you'd be one of the happiest people on this earth. Truly happy. For you feel there's nothing to hurt you. Because Brahman is love. Bliss. Joy. It's like seeing a picture in 3D. How many of you have seen movies in 3D? Have you seen 3D movies? You put on the glasses and you watch. And a train is coming toward you. Top speed looks like a train comes out of the screen, comes into the audience and goes into you. But you laugh. See, this isn't real, this is not the truth. It's not happening. It's an optical illusion. This is the way a sage sees the world. Like a 3D movie. The sage cares nothing about birth or death. What goes on in between. When a sage is already free and liberated. And now you see the sage in your own image. This is where it becomes interesting. When we search for a sage, when we go to Australia, India, someplace, to find a real sage. And then in the beginning we're very enamored with the sage. We tell our friends, he gave me that look. I just melted. You gave me the touch. I felt like I was going to leave this world. And you read about a sage. But if you stay with the sage for a while, something very interesting happens. You realize the sage is just like you. The sage eats. The sage drinks. The sage goes to a movie once in a while, watches TV, goes to the bathroom, eats ice cream. And there's all the things that you do. You become disillusioned. You start whispering, I wonder if he's really enlightened. For he does everything we do. Again, you have to remember what you're doing. You're seeing the sage through your eyes. And you can only see so far. Only another sage can recognize the sage. For your eyes have been opened. And they will see themselves in you. And what does this have to do with you? Everything. You're here for one reason, to awaken. You're here to awaken, that's all you're here for. It's the only business that sage has with you, is to make you awaken. But the way of making you awaken is different than you think. The relationship with the sage is very important. But you must be non-judgmental. Remember, whatever you see is your own image. It's the same as looking at the world. When you look at the world, you see troubles, problems. Man's humanity to man. You're seeing yourself. You're that way. You only see yourself, nothing else. If you look in this world, you see love, peace, happiness. Again, you're seeing yourself. For this world is like a piece of clay. It molds into the shape that you give it. Everybody sees something else. And they argue with each other. This is the way, this is the way, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. The arguments never get you anywhere. Always remember you're only seeing yourself. Just by knowing this, you begin to keep quiet. Just by understanding this, you stop judging. You leave the world alone, you leave people alone. What difference does it make to you who's right, who's wrong? What's good, what's bad? If you're running around trying to make things right all over this world, you have a hard time. That's why it says, If you want to find out this world, then know yourself first. Know who you are. You'll find out about this world. Before I leave everything alone. Whenever you feel an emotion, whenever you feel hurt, aren't you saying that record of the world is real? So if record of the world is unreal, the world is a dream, a mirage, why do we act alive? Why do you allow things to bother you, to annoy you, to upset you? Why do you always have to rectify things, change things, make things right? What you're really doing is trying to make things go your way, the way that you think of life. You're trying to change things to go the way that you want it to go. So when we get on a path like this, we drop everything. We drop it all. Everything that happened before, we forget it totally, completely. This is a new beginning right this moment. Brand new beginning. The past is dead. It has no hold on you. Don't talk about it. Don't look about it. Discuss it with no one. Leave it alone. There's no past. As far as all your so-called sins, things that you did in the past that you're sorry for, in a new state of consciousness, you did absolutely nothing. We're totally free and forgiven. This doesn't mean that you have a license to go and hurt people and do things that you did before. It doesn't matter. On the contrary, it doesn't matter. You have to suffer the consequences of your deeds and actions. But if you want to live in the consciousness of oneness, if you want to live in the consciousness of absolute reality, then you're safe and secure. And no harm can ever come to you. From anything. You are divinely protected. This, of course, happens only when you surrender totally to the Godhead. When you surrender totally to consciousness, it requires total surrender to yourself in every aspect of your life. You have to have the attitude of I no longer have a life of my own. I no longer have any life. It is all consciousness. Therefore, if it's consciousness, I'm no longer responsible for anything I've ever done. This brings me a new freedom, a new happiness, a new peace. So I'm now forgiven for everything I've done in the past, good or bad. It always starts in the morning when you get out of bed. Other times remember these things and work on yourself. When you first awaken. Try to make the mind go back into the heart. When you first awaken, you say I. As soon as you say I, the mind goes into the brain. The mind is the isolate. There you go. As soon as the ego goes back into the brain, the fun begins. When you're alive and well, complaining, thinking about the day, and there's a world of real. If you only remember that you've created this world when you wake up, if you only remember these things, see, so this is my world of creation, I created it. Where did it come from? Where was it when I was asleep? When I was in deep sleep, there was no world for me. And when I awakened, the world was here. When I was dreaming, that I was in a different world. In my dream, I was somewhere else. This particular world didn't exist for me at all. But the dream world did. And I was sure that I was in the dream as a real person. But now the dream world is gone, I'm here in this world. So am I going to allow this world to bother me any longer? To annoy me? To make me sick? Make me see things and complain about them? Make me guess about everything? Make me become a real negative person, only seeing something wrong? Complaining? I'm in a dream world. And the more reality I get to the dream world, the stronger it becomes for me. You think all these things when you get out of bed in the morning. Then you can ask yourself, well, who am I? What is the source of the I? The things in the dream world. Where did I come from? Is the I me? Am I the I? Question yourself this way. What am I doing in this world? What is my purpose? Why am I here? Who am I? Do not get hung up on your activities. They'll take care of themselves. Again, stop believing that if you don't think about your problems, they will go away. You'll never solve them. It's not true. It's because you think about your problems that you have problems. If you didn't think about your problems, where do the problems come from? Where would they be? They only arrive because you allow the eye flow to go back into the brain and think about your problems. So we go back into no thought. Watch yourself, observe yourself, and not think about it. See the objects. And inquire, who is the seer? Who is the seer who sees the objects? You are behind the scene and the seer and the object. You are the immortal self. Such as Ananda, the Atman, Brahman. And nature is all-pervading. All-pervading consciousness. And see what I'm saying to you, you're not this feeble person that's separated from life. Worried about problems. It's not you at all. Get rid of that person forever. You're beyond that. You're in this perfect reality that has existed since the beginning of time. Know this. And yet, sometimes the world seems to grab all of you and can't let go. Sometimes the world gets you and it makes you miserable, makes you fear, makes you believe something's wrong someplace. And obviously you can't get out of it. At this time you practice a certain mantra technique will help. Some strange things with you because they want you to do something. Never allow your thoughts to get a hold of you, the world to get a hold of you. When you feel helpless and you feel that you're nothing. Practice this mantra. Inhale and say, who am I? Hold your breath and say, I am consciousness. Exhale and say, I am not the body. This will keep your mind busy. It'll keep your mind real busy. Keep on thinking. Inhale, say, who am I? Before you exhale, say, I am consciousness. And when you exhale, say, I am another body. Let's try doing this for a while. Close your eyes. Relax. Inhale, say, who am I? Hold your breath, say, I am consciousness. Exhale, say, I am another body. Do this. Who am I? I am consciousness and another body. With your breathing. Feel deep in your heart. Feel yourself becoming purified. Feel how peaceful and relaxed you become when you do this. Shanti, 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 peace. Feel free to ask some questions.
Robert, What gives experience its validity? What makes experience valid?
Your mind. If you have an experience, your mind makes it valid because the experience is always in the mind. Without the mind, there's no experience. What is the experience? What comes from the mind?
So it's just another belief system?
Of course. Indeed. If there's no mind, how can you have an experience? Everything that you think happens to you is in the mind. any amount of progress you're making, everything that you're doing is all in the mind. Because after all, who has to make progress? If you're never born, you don't exist, who's there to make progress? All goes back to the mind. The mind creates a game and the mind plays a game. So break up the mind when they're looking at it, when they're seeing it. Break up the mind. Don't give it any value or credit.
In other words, just see the concept working, whatever way they are.
I don't see that. See nothing. Break everything up. Get rid of everything. It all comes from the mind. The mind is responsible for your state of conditioning right now. There's no mind, there's no conditioning, there's nothing. You're in your true state. When you're trying to do something, and you're using the mind. What are you trying to make something, what you're trying to do? No matter how good you feel, it's always the mind.
So how do you break it up without trying to do something?
By keeping still. Just keep still, that's all you gotta do. In stillness there's power. All the power in the quietness. Because most people cannot keep still. We invent all these methods and things they should do and practices. Because the mind can't keep still. All the practices lead to a still mind. But if you keep your mind still first, why do you need to practice? Be still and know that I am God. Only when you're still, you know that you're God.
Yeah, and that totally doesn't belong to any experience.
No experience whatsoever.
Like, the sense of awareness seems totally separate from anything in the experiential, you know. It's not, any experience is kind of mutual, exclusive from that.
Yes. So it has to be a person of the experience. The person must go, and the experience will go with it. Get rid of everything. Okay, we're not reading by Mr. Ed. Talking horse. Thank you, Mary.
What year was the Ashtavakya Gita written?
1958. About the 400 AD.
Thank you for coming.
Time for Prasad. Self. But you see yourself in others. When you look at your world, you're seeing yourself. Simply a reflection of you. Nothing more, nothing less. Therefore, if you're feeling love, if you're seeing peace, if you're seeing and feeling harmony, you're seeing yourself. You can only see in the world that you are, nothing else. So think for a moment. What kind of world are you seeing? What kind of world are you involved in? And it's always you. For you are the only one that exists. No one exists but you. There's only one, and you are that. And I will ask, well, what about everybody else? How can I be the only one when I see millions of people? I see all kinds of animals, everything. How can I be the only one? Well, when you go back to the dream state, there's only one person dreaming, isn't there? And in the dream you see thousands of people. You're involved with millions of people, perhaps. You're involved with places, persons, and things. But you're having the dream, aren't you? When you wake up, they're gone, and you are yourself. Liberation is like that. Right now you believe there are many people, there are others, all kinds of things going on in this world, good and bad, right and wrong, happy and sad, rich and poor, healthy or sick. And what has happened is you become attached to these things. You identify with the wrong thing. You identify with the external dream instead of identifying with the self. Identifying with the self is like waking up from the dream. When you're having a dream, and people are getting killed in your dream, perhaps you're a soldier or a nurse or a doctor or a maid. You have all kinds of experiences. But when you awaken, it was all a dream. Such is this kind of life that you're living now. You believe this is your life, and you're living an external life. You're involved in all sorts of things. You react to these things as if they were real. The greater you react to things, the greater you're pulled into Maya, into the illusion of this universe. And you get deeper involved, deeper involved, deeper involved. Until the time comes when you become tired of this whole game. You start to search, you start to look. You search within yourself. You begin to inquire. To whom does this illusion come? You begin to inquire, who's having these experiences? Who's going through all these things? And you inwardly realize you are. I am. So you inquire further about who am I? Who am I? And why are the experiences I'm having? And why my work? And why my body? And why my mind? What am I? Where did I come from? As you inquire deeper and deeper, you will one day feel something deep within you. As an ineffable light where the whole world will be gone and you will be home free. When I say you'll be home free, I mean you will appear to be the way you are now, today, but your entire reasoning system has changed. You no longer feel yourself as being the person you are, even though people see you as the same person. You have become the mirror instead of the reflection. You are identified with the mirror or with the self. Knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that everything in this world, everything in this universe is a superimposition upon the self. It is like paper and the print on the paper. When you read a newspaper, you look at the print. You do not think of the paper which the print is on. You are concentrating on the print only, the words. Yet without the paper, there would not be any print. Don't you see? So this was the self, with reality. Reality is like the paper. The print is like the people, places, and things on the paper. Only you are the paper, and you identify with the paper, you know you're the paper. And the print has nothing to do with you. Can it influence you or do anything to you? For you know without you there's no universe, there's no ink. There's no words, there's no alphabet, no alphabetical letters. You have become free. Now, why do we want to become free? Again, look at the experiences you've had in this world. Good and bad, happy and sad. You're growing older all the time. There will come a time in your life when you give up the body. And you have no idea what's going on. But when you know who you are, and you realize this truth, you will know, not believe, but you will know. You were never born, you never had any experiences, and you do not dissolve when you die, so to speak. You understand that you are pure awareness, effortless, choiceless, pure awareness. You are consciousness, the absolute reality, the Brahman, the ultimate reality. I am that I am. Bliss. You will feel an ineffable bliss that is beyond description. And unalloyed happiness that you can't even imagine exists. Yet all the words that I'm using will not really come into your mind because you'll have no mind. There will be no words. You will just be these things that I'm talking about. And it will be that forever. When you drop your body, as far as you're concerned, there never was a body to drop. A body never existed for you. But to others, they will see a body dropping. Others will see all kinds of things, human things, physical things, mental things. But you have overcome. There's no longer anything that you have to experience. You are free. Totally, absolutely free. Free in beauty. Free in love. Free in joy. Free in happiness. Total freedom. Yet you will not use these words. I'm using the words because I have to explain to you what happens. But these words are inadequate. You are God. Omnipresent. Omniscient. Omnipotent. I'm not referring to you that you feel you are in right now, the human being. Never think of yourself as a human being being God. For a human being can never be God. It's impossible. But the truth about this is you're not human. You're inhuman. And you take the mind off yourself, your body and its manifestations, and you start to identify with consciousness. You do this by inquiring, who am I? Where am I? Where did I come from? And when I saw the meaning today, I said, there's really nothing you have to do. There's really absolutely nothing you have to do. All this talking is to make you see that. In fact, you don't understand what I'm saying to you. There's nothing you have to do, but you have to practice self-inquiry. You have to practice going within. If you're going to listen to my words, when I say you are already free, There's absolutely nothing you have to do. It is effortless, choiceless. Feel this right now. Feel the nothingness which you are. By nothingness I mean there's no thing going on within you. There's nothing happening. There's no you. There's no mind, there's no body. There's no thoughts. There's nobody wanting to become enlightened. There's nobody wanting anything. Feel this. As you let go of all your thoughts that have been haunting you for years. Past experiences, karma, samskaras, doesn't exist anymore for you. There is nothing. Feel that nothing.
I have an observation I'd like to check on. It's kind of along the lines that you've been describing. It seems that everything in duality is a creation of the mind. And since the mind is unreal, all creation is unreal and of no great value. And if this is so, then my observation also is a duality. It is a creation of the mind. And it's unreal, has no value. And so that puts me right back on square one.
On the contrary. As you begin to observe and watch yourself thinking about these things, as you observe yourself doing what you just said, you will begin to realize that there is something watching you doing what you're doing, watching you reacting this way to the things you're talking about. There's something beyond that, in other words, that allows you to do what you do. That something is consciousness. It observes you reacting this way to the things you're talking about. But in reality, there's only consciousness. And you do not exist, means the object exists. There's only one, which is beyond words and thoughts. There's only the one who appears to be the witness to your reaction and to the objects of your reaction. So when you get the mind thinking about consciousness by not thinking at all, but as being, everything clears up everything is transcended, and you become totally, absolutely free. Every experience that comes to you is of the mind. Everything that comes into yourself is the mind. We want to annihilate the mind. We want to destroy the mind. The mind has to be completely annihilated, totally transmuted and destroyed. And you do this by doing nothing, just being yourself. By the spiritual discernment, by discrimination, by pondering the things I'm talking about. And if that's too easy for you, then practice self-inquiry. Inquire who thinks this way. To whom these thoughts come. Who wants to know these things? And you'll say, I do. Then inquire, who am I? What you're really saying is, what is the source of the I? What is the source of I? Who has these experiences? As you inquire this way, the I will disappear, dissolve, and you'll be home free.